Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Big mark, knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Hello, yes, welcome to episode 16 of the Monday Waffle for season 2017, and this round has provided us with more than enough to talk about. First of all, we have a certain South Fremantle Bulldog has notched his 100th game milestone and starred, might I add. We chat to him a little bit later. Do the Peel Thunder have a secret plan to unleash a certain player on the final series? We'll discuss that. But first, let's talk about NAIDOC Week. Well, firstly, NAIDOC, if you don't know, stands for National Aboriginal and Islander Day Observance Committee, and the round was instigated by South Fremantle and Claremont in 2007. During that round, players wear specific uniforms similar to that of Indigenous Round in the AFL, and if you're a fan of football at all, you probably have a good chance of knowing the name Michael Mitchell. If you don't remember him at all, let me just give you a little background of him. He's a 1984 Sandover medalist, he's a dual All-Australian, and he won the AFL's 1990 Mark and Goal of the Year. I think he was pretty good in his time, I think so. Well, as part of NAIDOC Week, Mr. Mitchell's 24-year-old daughter Sam has designed a ball with a special Indigenous feature on it that was used in every game this weekend. Also, a fun little stat for you is WA continues to be a powerhouse in terms of providing the AFL with Indigenous talent. Listen to this. Of the 74 currently listed Indigenous AFL players, nearly half of them are from WA alone. And that's with numbers falling in recent seasons. So you're welcome, AFL. WA football's got your back. And speaking of gifted Indigenous players, let's have a quick talk about Harley Bennell from the Dockers. Now, he hasn't played a game for them yet, bar that one pre-season match against Geelong where he did pretty well, and we all know of his talents, but his troublesome calves have caused him some problems and hasn't been able to get on the field since. However, for an AFL-listed player to qualify for the Waffle Final Series, they need to have had 5 appearances at either league or reserves level. And so what Peel have done this weekend is they put Harley Bennell on the reserves list and then told him just to sit in the stands. This move counts towards one of those 5 appearances, so only 4 more to go, and then we could see Harley Bennell in the final series. However, it looks like he will line up for the Peel squad this weekend. The move isn't uncommon for the Fremantle Dockers, who managed to get 17 AFL-listed players into the Peel squad to win their maiden premiership, which then saw the Waffle make a change and have only now 15 AFL-listed players are allowed on the field at one time. The Dockers used this technique back then when they managed to get 20-year-old Harley Ballack back into the Peel lineup after he came back from wrist surgery. For Peel, they have 6 home and away games left before the finals, leaving Fremantle a narrow window for Bennell to qualify. Dockers coach Ross Lyon had said previously if Peel end up playing finals, he could play in those finals and then roll into their pre-season, which would be the ideal scenario for both Harley and the Dockers. We'll have to wait and see if Harley ends up taking the field this weekend for Peel, but let's look at the games that just happened, hey?
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
Well, we're talking about Peel before, so let's continue on. We're talking about Peel v West Perth. And Peel have come out victorious comfortably with a very accurate 16-3-99-9-15-69 victory. Let me put it this way. Well, one team kicks 8 straight goals with their first 8 shots and the other team kicks 8 behinds. That's a 40-point deficit at halftime. 8-0-0-8. Peel just couldn't miss. They kicked 16 straight goals before they missed, and that was in the final quarter, and they'd set up a comfortable lead at that point. The Falcons didn't kick a goal in that game until the opening minute of the third quarter, but for them, even a 7-goal haul in the final quarter just was, the damage was done too early, and Peel ran away comfortably, as I said, 99-69. It's the 4th straight win for Peel, and they go to a 9-5 record on the season, and they're just 1 game from second spot, percentage ahead of 4th, but they're 2 games clear of 5th place West Perth, who keep their spot despite 4 consecutive losses, and they have a bye to come this weekend.
Some individual performances. Matt Taberner for Peel put his hand up, having a big day out, asking for a call up to the Dockers. He kicked 6 goals. 4 of those came in the final quarter. And he had 25 touches, 13 marks, 8 entries inside the forward 50 as well. Cam Sutcliffe, he also put his hand up. He kicked 4 goals, 23 touches, and Ed Langdon kicked 2 goals. Harley Balick, he came back from his time off the Dockers gave him to return to Victoria. Yeah, it was a successful return. He had 25 touches, 10 marks, and a goal. Well, Hayden Matthews finished with 21 touches, Josh DeLuca 20, Daniel Pierce 20, and Jonathan Griffin, the big ruckman, 15 to go with his 6 marks, 42 hitouts, and a goal to himself. Not a bad little effort. For the Falcons, they ended up kicking 9 second half goals, but they kicked 7 in the last quarter, which is a good effort. But yeah, the damage was done way too early. Luke Meadows, Corey Chalmers, and Tyler Keitel all kicked two apiece. Meadows also got 27 touches to go with 8 marks, 5 inside 50s, and 4 tackles. Shane Nelson returned to his ball-winning form for the Falcons. He got 30 touches after being tagged out last week against Subiaco. I also have to point out, for one of our hosts here, Poppy, her favourite man, Zach Dawson, kicked another goal. Ladder leaders Subiaco have delivered another dominant performance, and this time have registered their 13th straight victory, this time taking down Perth, 2021-141 to 9-5-59, and with 21 behinds to your name, if they kicked a little straighter, that scoreline could have been much, much greater. As I said, 13th straight win for Subiaco, who still will remain clear on top of the Waffle ladder, while Perth have lost now 7 in a row with just 2 wins for this season. Just 2. The Lions really were outclassing the Demons the whole way through. They had 125 more possessions. They had 29 more inside 50s, 41 scoring shots to 14. But Perth was on the right end of the free kick count, if that's some consolation prize. It was only fitting that, celebrating NAIDOC week, that Adam Cocky delivered his best game of the season for Subiaco. He got 30 touches, 7 tackles, and 7 inside 50s entries. Liam Ryan also celebrated the round. He stretched his lead in the Burley Naylor medal race. He kicked 4 goals for Subi, with Ben Sokol kicking 3, and Adam Creeper 2, to go with 15 touches and 26 hitouts. Delahunty was outstanding. He kicked 2 goals, along with 26 touches, 7 marks, and 16 hitouts. Not a bad score for a big man. Kyle Horsley, the captain himself, he was just too good. 26 touches for him. Lee Kitchen had it 25 times. Corey Adamson, 24. Justin Joyce, 24, who also kicked his first goal of the season after kicking 7 behind. So well done to him there. For the Demons, Gordon Narrier provided some big moments, kicking 3 goals. Blake Johnson kicked 2, as did Christian Carey. Oh, Captain Clint Jones does what he does best. He got 29 touches. Michael Sinclair had 26. Aiden Tropiano had 19, and Johnson 18. To go with those 2 goals, he got 8 marks, 6 tackles, and 9 hitouts himself. Perth actually started brightly, and it was only fitting that in NAIDOC round, the first goal of the game was from Indigenous small forward Cody Nignette. It took more than 10 minutes for Subi to get their opening goal of the game, but then after that, it was an avalanche, and Perth just didn't have an answer. Perth continued to fight. They kicked 2 goals in the third quarter, 4 in the last, doing their best. But Subi, for their credit, they kicked 5 goals in the third and 6 in the last to run out convincing and thrashingly with 82 points. Subiaco will now move on, and they'll try to make it 14 wins in a row against Claremont this Saturday in Esperance. Perth will search for its 3rd win of the season, going against East Fremantle in a contest that could determine the wooden spoon this season.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Moving on to the Swan Districts versus East Frio Sharks game, and the Swans have held on for a narrow victory against a tough East Fremantle outfit, running away 12-11-83 to 11-10-76. The Sharks were within 7 points by three-quarter time, but the Swans did just enough. The win is the 3rd straight in a row for the Swan Districts, who will now move 2 games clear in 4th position and are just percentage behind the 3rd place Peel Thunder. The East Fremantle defence held the Swans' key forwards well, so it was up to the little guys to do the damage on the scoreboard this week, with David Ellard, Jamie Bennell, and Therese Stewart all kicking 2 goals for the Black and Whites. Corey Galt, the former Magpie, he put together another strong game in the ruck. He got 20 touches, 30 hitouts, while Adam Faulkner got 29, Jesse Turner 29, and Ryan Crowley 26. For the Sharks, Jack Perham delivered his best game in attack. He kicked 3 goals to go with 23 touches and 10 marks. Corey Holmes, George Hampson, and Matthew Watson all kicked 2 each for the Sharks as well. Hampson's presence was a significant boost for the Sharks after coming back from a hamstring injury. He had 23, 6 marks, and 6 tackles. Down back for the Sharks, Matthew Jupp, who had 23 possessions and 10 marks, and Dylan Winton led the way by restricting Ricky Carey and Braden Noble to just 1 goal between them, which was a very good effort. In what was a very tight contest, the Sharks closed within 2 points early in the final term. When Holmes and Perham kicked 2 more goals in the space of 2 minutes heading into time on, the Sharks were in front and had a reason to think they were going to win. But the Swans held on and knew there was too much at stake. They managed to get the 2 last goals of the game, thanks to Todd Banfield and Stewart, to end up winning by 7 points and moving clear in 4th. The Swans will look to make it 4 in a row now next Saturday up against South Fremantle. The Swans are one of the only 2 teams the Bulldogs haven't beaten so far in 2017, so it makes the match very interesting. East Fremantle's form largely has been on the improve since WA Day, and the Sharks, as I said before in the previous match report, could now climb off the bottom of the ladder if they can get a victory against the struggling Perth. And finally, it's time to move on to the 2 teams that helped make NAIDOC round what it is today. South Fremantle v Claremont, 14-7-91 to 10-6-66, in what was a very interesting match to watch in Hayden Schloyth's 100th game for the Bulldogs. Claremont was back to Claremont Oval this week, where it had won 3 straight games after its redevelopment, and also had history on their side in this match. The Tigers have dominated the annual NAIDOC round fixture since 2007, and look to keep that history going strong with a 5-goal-to-1 first quarter. They also did pretty good to get under the skin of the Bulldogs players, who gave away a few free kicks off the ball. But South Fremantle would not be denied after their good form all year and steadied to kick 13-5 after quarter time. The win was South Fremantle's first in the NAIDOC round against Claremont since 09, and it's the first win for the Bulldogs at Claremont Oval since 2008. South Fremantle have now moved to a 10-4 record on the season and remain clear in second position, while Claremont remain in sixth spot with a 6-8 record. As I said before, Hayden Schloyth was the star of the day in his 100th. He kicked a career-best 5 goals to go with a team-high 27 touches, 8 marks, and 5 inside 50s. For the game, he started in the midfield, and he moved forward in the second quarter and was a catalyst for South Fremantle, and he turned the game around. All day, he appeared the most dangerous forward on the ground, even though he did well when he was further up the field. His partner in crime, Tim Kelly, received plenty of close attention from Bailey Banfield, but he managed to handle it pretty well and ended up with 25 touches, 5 tackles, and a goal, including some amazing and stunning running through the middle of the ground. Ben Saunders and Blaine Johnson for the Bulldogs kicked 2 goals with limited opportunities, but their backline is what was impressive. They held up tremendously, with Josh Pullman and Blaine Wilson combining to limit Bo Meister and Eddie Simpson to 1 goal, 5 kicks, and 3 marks between the 2 players. Jai Bolton, the Sandover medalist, had a strong day for Claremont. He had 36 touches, 6 tackles, 5 marks, and 4 inside 50s. A very strong performance all round. Mitch Andrews had a good ruck battle against Brock Higgins, with the dual premiership winning big man finishing with 50 hitouts, 8 possessions, and a goal. After the game, Poppy went downstairs and had a few questions for Hayden himself.
So obviously, slow start from you guys today. What was the coach's message at quarter time?
Yeah, it was really disappointing. It was probably the second or third week in a row that we started pretty slow. The message was just to keep grinding away. Things will turn. We're pretty undisciplined in the first quarter, so if we cut that out, then we knew if we continued to play our way that things would turn.
Awesome. So obviously, big game for you personally and in your milestone game. So what's your focus been this season and especially in the last few weeks?
My focus all year has just been to continue to play good footy all year round and play my role for the team. This year has been most pleasing. I've been able to back it up most weeks, and previous years I've had a couple of good ones and it's dropped away. So yeah, my main focus has really just been to play my role for the team and help us win games of footy.
Awesome. And also getting towards finals, you guys are in a pretty good spot. Have you started thinking about that at all as a team?
No, I haven't really spoken about it too much. No, our focus was to try and get 12 wins as quick as possible, because that sort of cements your position in the top 5. We've still got a couple to go, and then once we get to 12, we'll reassess them.
Just want to thank Hayden once again for talking to the team there, and congratulations once again.
you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Well, it's time to figure out who knows what they're talking about and who doesn't in our tipping segment every week. Now, we had a few people who have missed the deadline for tipping this week, so they, and as the rules state, they get the automatic away teams, which means you get 2 points. So, Danny, Sean, Mia, and Tash, I'm looking at you guys for 2 points. Bad luck, better luck next time. But congratulations need to be in order for Poppy and Mel, who have managed to get 4 from 4. I think I'm going to maybe listen to what they have to say from now on. Jimmy, myself, Luke, and Hannah got 3. So for my tipping this week, Subiaco v Claremont. Subiaco, they're going to keep rolling along. They're going to take that victory. East Fremantle v Perth, as mentioned before, could be the decider of who gets the wooden spoon. East Fremantle, despite having losses, have been much more competitive. So I'm going to give it to East Fremantle at home. East Perth v Peel. I'm going to go with Peel. With the possible return of Harley Bennell, I think they'll be too strong for the East Perth outfit. And South Fremantle v Swan Districts. South Fremantle, have to go with them. Just going back over those games as to where you can find them and at what times, they'll all be taking place on Saturday the 15th of July. Subiaco v Claremont will be at 1:10 in Esperance. All other games will be at 2:15. East Fremantle v Perth will be at East Fremantle Oval. East Perth v Peel will be at Leaderville Oval. And South Fremantle v Swan Districts you'll find at Fremantle Community Bank Oval. West Perth have the bye.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Running through the ladder now, and Subiaco is well and truly clear on top with 13 wins and 52 points, with a commanding 152% to go along with it. South Fremantle sit in second with a healthier 164%, but 3 games behind with 40 points. 1 game clear of Peel Thunder, who sit on the same point tally of 36 with Swan Districts. Just percentage separates the two teams. West Perth rounds out the top 5 on 28 points, a few more games behind there. Bottom 4, East Perth, Claremont, Perth, and East Fremantle. That'll do it for another episode of the Monday Waffle. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you again to Hayden for having a chat to the team. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.